The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fatted cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and his feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Continue to hear from Paul's words in our second reading. Speaking to the Philippians, or speaking to us seems so pertinent, so timely, about how there just seems to be, well, I think more than seems to be, just the evidence of, in our culture, just a growing anxiety among so many of us, and an anger, and Paul's words addressing that. Last week we heard, just before this, Paul saying, "Have no anxiety at all about anything." And today he said, I've learned the secret of being able, in whatever the circumstance I'm in, to be able to know I'm safe and secure, to be at peace, even in some way to be joyful, because I know my future is not just a good one, but greater than I could ever ask or imagine for. It's helpful perhaps just to pause and think about, where is Paul writing this letter to the Philippians? Paul's in prison. Thinking about prison, he's not just in prison. He's in prison unjustly. The only reason he's in prison is because he's sharing the good news of Jesus. He's going about knowing that Jesus is the God who made everyone, and then he made us all for heaven, and we're in need of Jesus. We're in need of this Savior, and yet the good news is he's come, and he's come not just for some, but for all. And so here's real hope, and he's doing that with mighty works and miracles and patience and perseverance, and some people didn't want that message to be made known. So he's in prison. The Romans have put him in prison. He even seems to indicate earlier in the letter that as he's in prison, some Christians may be working to make his time there more difficult, to increase his sufferings there, or extend his time in prison. Maybe they were even involved. We aren't clear of all the details, but it seems maybe they were involved in even his arrest. And thinking about prison, right, he's not in a United States American prison, as bad as that may be, and as at times perhaps horrific behavior may take place there, but he's in a Roman prison. I've been to Rome, and you can go to a place in Rome where there's a prison from the time of Paul, again, not the one he was in Philippi, but probably similar. Right. This isn't a room with a window and some sunlight. This is a hole in the ground. This is down below without any sunlight, any fresh air, no sanitary conditions. I'll let you think about what the unsanitary conditions would include. And he's not being fed three square meals a day and good fresh water. He's probably to a certain degree left on his own to fend for himself and whoever might decide to care for him. And that's in the midst of all of that, he's writing somebody else. He's worrying about these people in Philippi, and he's taking the time to write to them. Part of it, this particular part in the passage too, thanking them, acknowledging their care for him while he's in prison, probably sending him food and other necessities. And in the midst of all of that, he's saying, I've learned the secret. Not some secret that God is trying to hide from all of us and we have to figure out something, some special combination to get to it, like some safe, but the fact that, yes, it is something that we have to learn ultimately because of our brokenness and because we are separated from the Lord. But what is that secret that he's learned that has changed his life to such a degree that he can say, I'm grateful for your generosity in this situation that I'm in, but you know what I'm most grateful for? That it allowed you to have the opportunity to grow in generosity. Because in my need, and there's a real need there, obviously, that hasn't kind of affected, it hasn't caused me to become anxious, to become fearful, to give in to anger, to give in to despair, to hopelessness, any more than somehow being rich and having lots of material possessions would have somehow changed me from being anxious to, oh, now he alludes to it a little bit in our passage there, but when we look into Jesus, when we look to all the scripture, when we look to our faith, a big part of it, maybe in a way to capture it, is to say Paul has learned how to trust in God and to place all his trust in God and to trust in God in such a way and because he knows that God is his good father. He knows that the God who made him by name, made all of creation, that all things are under his power and authority, and he's a good father. Not an absent father, not an abusive father, not an indifferent father or a vindictive father or a selfish father, but a good father. And he wants only good things for Paul. He made him out of love for love, ultimately, to share in his own life. He wants to share everything with Paul above all himself. And of course, Paul knows that that's true not just for himself, but for everyone, that he finds that in Jesus. And because of that, he learned how to rely totally on the Lord in every situation. And that he knows that the Lord is faithful and he will provide for what he needs. And so he trusts in the Lord. That's true for you and me. To learn that secret, how do we do that? How can we grow in doing that? Because for all of us, in some way as well, right? This is gets to the heart of both what why we're made and what life is, and also the challenge that God is my good father. That was the primordial, the first temptation with Adam and Eve. God, trust me. Listen to me. Or listen to yourself. So it's to learn that. Of course, we're here this morning. There's that faith, that knowledge, but to be able to grow in it. God is a good father, and to grow in trust. And then to know that even as we take acts, when we take steps in trust, our trust grows. And every situation is a way to be able to grow in that trust. And in that, to grow in God's peace and life. A couple of things come to mind. One is in our daily prayer, we show that trust in the Lord and we grow in that trust in the Lord. It's an expression of it when we're faithful to our daily prayers. And for all of us, it's usually a process and it's growing. And, for some of us, maybe, gosh, I don't pray at all every day. And if I remember, maybe I say a prayer before my meals. And okay, we'll carve out 5 or 10 minutes. For some of us, it's like, I'm praying every day. I'm taking a few minutes. And to be faithful to that sometimes calls us for a little bit more. I've quoted it many times, but I think it's a great expression. One of the great saints, St. Francis de Sales, he was held up, he's held up by the church, especially in his wisdom on how to live the life of the laity, right? Because you and I, we're both called to be saints, and vocation's different, but it's not like, well, if you really want to be holy, if you really want to grow in love and life and close to God, become a priest or a nun. No, most people are called to marriage, and it's no less the ability of the often, right? We can see that in our own day. Laity can be greater saints. But St. Francis de Sales said, talking to the lady, he said, you know, if we're really trying to grow closer to the Lord and that trust, he said, pray half an hour a day, unless you're really busy, and then pray an hour. What's he getting at? He's getting at, because what is prayer? It's turning to our God, who's your good Father, who knows everything that you need, who's in control and has authority over everything in all of creation, in every situation. And so you're looking to him as a good child, as a trusting child. Jesus said, unless we turn and become like children, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. A big part of that childlikeness is trust. But our daily prayer, that faithfulness and growing in it, as we're not praying every day, maybe I don't strive to try and do a half an hour once, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And I build on that. But it's also to be attentive in our daily life to where are those moments of distress, big or small? And am I turning to the Lord? You see the first one I turn to in my need? Some difficulty, huh? Some moment of suffering, distress. Again, small or big. That he's the one do I turn to immediately. Just again, just like a child. Like a little child that looks for their mother or their father in that moment. Or do I look to someone else? Or do I just turn to a distraction? Some escape from the moment? You know, we've got our, especially our devices, they can be powerful distractions and powerful ways to escape in the moment, but ultimately they don't address the most important issues. Or maybe I just look to others, or I just rely on myself, self-reliance. Be attentive when I turn to the Lord first. It's not that in that prayer and that looking to the Lord, he doesn't always sometimes lead us to someone else and to other ways to support. He's working through us, right? He's, as we say, secondary causes. Sometimes he's direct, but often he's in many other ways. But can I look first? And I didn't even think to pray. I'm still learning how to trust in the Lord. You know, Paul came to realize that it was precisely at times in those moments of crisis, in those moments, because of those, that he himself learned how to trust in the Lord. And that God allowed them and even sometimes was, testing, putting us to the test, not to make us fall, but precisely so we can learn to trust in him, that it was only because of those moments of distress that he came to that place of knowing how good God was and growing in his trust. You know, after the Our Father here at Mass, we pray the Our Father together, and then I say, the priest says that short prayer, and part of it is that God would keep us safe from all distress. I know at times in my life, reflecting on that phrase or hearing it or praying it was, oh, God, don't let the distress happen at all. Remove it completely from my life. And again, sometimes God does that. It's always good to turn to the Lord with wherever we're at. But ultimately, that prayer too is keep me safe in the distress. Help me to continue to trust in you. Help me to not turn to something or someone else that is not as trustworthy as you. Help me not to forget that you're my good Father and you're here with me always and you always have a good plan for my life and you can provide for my every need and you want me to learn to trust in you. Our prayer. You know, the other thing is to remember that God isn't a genie. God's our good Father, he's not a genie, meaning to not turn to him because he is powerful and because he has a power over all things to somehow like, okay, fix my problem, and then I can get back to living my life. But of course, it's to remember, no, I'm made for him. He's not, my relationship with God isn't meant to be like a genie where, okay, I need you to do this thing for me, and okay, I'll do that thing for you, but like a father and a child, like a mother and a child. It's love, it's communion. We're made for him. He knows that. Your happiness, my happiness lies in him. And so it's to always approach him like that. And so in that regard too, as a child, it's to, and to see this perfectly in Jesus, to say then it's to trust in him and his commandments and his promises. That's an expression of our trust, be able to grow in, okay, what you tell me is always good. Even if maybe sometimes, and this is true for all of us, we don't understand, how is this commandment good? Or I don't understand how to live this out in my life, or I struggle to do it. But my starting point, no, this is good. Whether it's in our relationships, whether it's in how we use our money, whether it's in how we interact in all of our daily lives. See his commandments as good, and to know that too is that response. You know, our gospel parable today, it's a beautiful one, but it's, at least for me, it's challenging in some ways, right? Because, of course, it's very much about the Father and Jesus, the landowner, the Son, him sending the Son, him preparing a banquet, something that isn't just full of life but exceeds all of our expectations and our needs. And it's very much about heaven. It's also about the Mass, which is this sacrificial banquet and this foretaste and this participation in heaven, even here. It's also about just being in God's kingdom. And yet, what does Jesus make clear? He makes clear that, well, we can say no. And sometimes we do say no because we're made to love, and love is always a choice. But it's to know in that call, trust in me as a good Father, come to me. We have a decision to make, and every day. And you get some of them right. They resorted to violence, but some of it was just kind of an indifference. Like, I'm good. I'm not interested in your feast. I'd rather do this other activity. I'd rather go do my job. I'd rather go home and do whatever with my family. No thanks. And then even that odd one of God branding everybody, right? All are meant for heaven. God desires all. He had this one without his wedding garment. What is that? It's that faith in God. It's that trust in God. It's responding to God as good Father. It's certainly an image of baptism and faith, but it's at the heart of it, what is that? Saying, God is my good Father. I think any of us would say, oh, God is going to give you all these good things. Okay, but they're connected to his life and his love. And so even for us, you're here this morning, most of you by your own choice, some maybe by your parents' choice, but you're here, gathered to the Lord, just to be attentive. Are there parts of my life, are there parts of your day or your week, relationships, decisions, where it's just me making that? I'm keeping God at a distance. And maybe in our struggle to live out or to understand fully at times God's commandments, we just kind of set it aside. I don't need that one. To say we need all of it. All that's good in life-giving. It's all the peace. And of course, part of that is precisely learning that. Paul learned that too. He was incapable of changing himself. And so it's always to come to God with that confidence and trust in his mercy. No matter the situation, his mercy is always there. We're always in need of it. Do not be afraid to see that need and to turn to the Lord. Whether it's to ask for forgiveness or to just trust, to wait, to look to him. Paul realized that kind of an individualism, a self-sufficiency, was not how we're made. It was not the way to go. But he learned there was an utter dependence on God. That was where he found hope. That's where he found peace. That's where he found life. That's where he found strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he realized that as he was able to grow in doing that and living that way, that no matter the situation, whether it was prison, whether it was war, whether it was persecution, whether it was hunger, whether it was uncertainty about the future, whether it was distress, something close to home, that when he trusted in the Lord, God was always faithful. God is always faithful. Always. Period. He's our good Father. Period. He's always with you. Always. Period. Full stop.